This morning, I want to go to the fifth chapter, begin in the fifth chapter of the book of Amos, the prophet Amos. That's just in front of Obadiah, Brother Ronnie. Amos, one of the minor prophets. Amos, this particular prophecies, only nine chapters long, just a few pages in here, but it's packed. I don't want to cover all of it, but I want to cover some of his prophecy here. Typically, when I've tried to preach from Amos, I've always felt led to emphasize the prophet himself, as far as what he thought of himself, the humility and all, but and the zeal and the immediacy of how he followed God's calling in that prophecy. But there are a couple of points, thoughts I'd like to draw out of his actual prophecy here in the first about the first four chapters, but beginning in that first verse of chapter 5 of Amos. Here he says, "Hear ye this word which I take up against you, even a lamentation, O house of Israel." So right there, we see the, if we just left that there and then build on that, we see that his prophecy, of course, is to the house of Israel. It is even a lamentation, an expression of grief here. That's the message he's got. So he continues. Let me jump to the third verse. I want to go back to chapter 1 in just a second. "For thus saith the Lord God, the city that went out by 1,000 shall leave 100. And that which went forth by 100 shall leave 10 to the house of Israel." There's going to be a scaling back, a depletion of this northern kingdom of Israel, greatly by the Assyrians. And God's bringing this on Israel. This isn't just some nation that's coming in there to have, God is causing this to Israel, and we'll see why. And grab one more verse here, part of another. Anyway, he said, fourth verse, "For thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek ye me, and ye shall live." So he throws out that there's a, and not, certainly not everyone in Israel, in that northern kingdom were carried off, to another nation. Some were not, but scaled way back, and then they were eventually released from bondage and all, but they had assimilated into Assyria. "Seek me, and ye shall live. But seek not Bethel, nor enter into Gilgal, and pass not to Beersheba. For Gilgal shall surely go into captivity, and Bethel shall come to naught." So Bethel, being in Samaria, Samaria is the capital of the northern kingdom of Israel, and let me go ahead and describe that. So we do not have a united Israel. I know we call, you know, you have Jacob and then Israel and the nation and the 12 tribes and so forth, but this was the time of a divided kingdom. You have a couple of tribes in the northern kingdom and 10 in the southern, and also they're divided. Judah is the southern, of course, Jerusalem the capital. But he's speaking, this prophet here, and I haven't said anything about the prophet himself, but he's prophesying to Israel. I mean, about every verse I read, the house of Israel, house of Israel. And so Bethel is where there are what they called high places where idols were placed, and they worshiped idols. There's bad idolatry going on in this northern kingdom of Israel. Now, and as we turn back to chapter 1, verse 1, Amos, I will mention that Israel, they are in a time of great prosperity. They're doing fine. They would think, and their attitude is, we don't need some prophet coming here and telling us these lamentations and this message of grief and lamenting, because we're doing fine. They were doing fantastic monetarily, if you will, and commercial businesses and so forth. So they're doing well. So now let me go to the first chapter and move through this. The first verse says, the words of Amos, who was among the herdmen of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel, in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, that's in the southern kingdom, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. That's the northern kingdom. Jeroboam the second is the king. 2 years before the earthquake. I'll just touch on that just a minute here. There, Zechariah also mentions this earthquake. He says, and talk about specific, 2 years before the earthquake. Hadn't happened yet. But archaeologists have found evidence of a great, terrible earthquake in that region. And all at some point, which I don't need any evidence. If there's an earthquake, there was an earthquake. But it's enough that we see the timing of this. He was prophesying under King Uzziah in the south and Jeroboam in the northern kingdom. That's when it was. But also, he says Amos, who was among the herdmen of Tekoa. Now, Tekoa is mentioned not only here, but also in Nehemiah. The Tekoites actually helped build the wall. You find that Nehemiah rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. They assisted in that. So there are some Tekoans. And where this is about 5 miles to Tekoa. Is 5 miles south of Bethlehem. We all know what Bethlehem is, what happened there and all. And then it's 10 miles south of Jerusalem. So it's not only in the southern kingdom of Judah, but it's down south of all that. And then it ends up being 22 miles from this place I mentioned before, Bethel, this city of Bethel. Up there in the northern kingdom. So it seems unusual that you have some guy, a herdman, down in the southern kingdom, but God sends him up to Israel to prophesy. And I'll mention a couple of things that I always like to draw out of this, but certainly then, just like I think of Jonah's prophecy and what he was told to do, finally he did it when he hit the shores there out of the belly of the whale and all that. So he did. But Amos, he went immediately. He did this, but he went where God told him to go. Now, I would much prefer today as a minister that God would audibly just tell me where you want me to go. Just tell me that. Now, God does that. I've never heard it audibly, but you have emotions and feelings and guidance, and we call them burdens. You're burdened down with something, and you're relieved of that burden once you do and fulfill what God would be pleased if you do. Don't have to follow that. Jonah didn't at first. So I don't want to get into Jonah right now. But he is a herdman from Tekoa. So you know where it is, where he was sent up to prophesy. Now let me grab a couple of descriptive sentences from the 7th chapter of Amos, 14th verse. Now he's arguing against, at this point, this priest, Amaziah, the priest of Bethel. So that's where all these idols are, the idolatry. It's seething with this. It's terrible. But oh, they're doing fine. But Amaziah is telling him, you don't need to be up here prophesying. Just go home. And then answered Amos and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son. So not only, it's like Amos is saying, I was nobody. I wasn't anybody. That's certainly how we should come if a man feels the call to preach. And I know that's desiring something that's pleasing to God, and he feels a calling and so forth, and you need to follow that in God's time. But it's not my gift to preach, if indeed I have one, is not because my father was a preacher, grandfather, great-grandfather. Those had nothing to do. They're gone. They're gone. I don't want it to be from them or because of that bloodline. I want it because God called me. Same with this prophet here. I wasn't a prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was an herdman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. That's wild figs. So he gathered fruit, and he was a herdman in Tekoa, of all places, out in the desert. He was nowhere. He was nobody, and he was nowhere. And God called him. That should prove to us God is going to call to preach or to prophesy who he will call. He'll bless them. He'll bless them with the gift that they need and lay that on them. And I still stand by my statement that the preaching of the gospel, for you all to receive the gospel, it takes more than one preacher. It takes many, and I've always believed that God blesses you for the gospel in its entirety, to hear different gifts and deliveries and subject matters and so forth. And Amos prophesied the one that the message that God gave him. And the Lord took me, Amos says, to Amaziah, took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said unto me, go prophesy unto my people Israel, not Judah. Don't stay in your own country. Don't run up the road just to Jerusalem or just stay where you are. You need to get up into Israel and prophesy. Never says that Amos even doubted him or argued or anything, as some of the others did, and I think of the apostles as well. So in that, we have a description of that. I'm going to jump real quick to Jeremiah, another prophet, Jeremiah chapter 1, just a couple of verses. And I feel for Jeremiah. Don't they call him the crying preacher, crying prophet, weeping? We have preachers like I do that at, gosh, maybe every Sunday. So first chapter, Jeremiah, 6th verse. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. He's pushing back there. That's understandable. It's understandable. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child. For thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. I would surely love to hear God tell me that audibly. I would love that. But I felt it. I felt that. Because I know I don't have to get up here and confess to you and tell you what a bad sinner I am, or I guess a good sinner that I am, because I'm good at that, because you know that. So we just give the message that God gives us, and he will bless us in that. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. Now I want to get one more verse, and this is my point in this, in Jeremiah's scenario here. When he's telling Jeremiah, he's getting them all set up to go prophesy and so forth. And so we go to the 19th verse of the first chapter, the last verse in the first chapter. Says, and tells Jeremiah, and they, these people that he's going to prophesy to, they shall fight against thee. He's sending poor Jeremiah out knowing he's going to have fights against him for the people that are there. I don't think I've ever gone to a church meeting or a church just to preach on a Sunday or to speak anywhere where I went knowing or thinking, oh, well, they're going to fight against me. Never felt that. So I've been blessed in that. But he says, they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. So that was Jeremiah's situation, not Amos. He didn't tell Amos they're going to fight against you, but he's getting some pushback from this priest at Bethel there. Going back to the first chapter, and then I'll begin to move through this and bring out my points. Second verse, I'm not going to go this slow through the whole thing. Just second verse, first chapter of Amos. And he said, the Lord will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the habitations of the shepherds shall mourn, and the top of Carmel shall wither. So already negative. Of course, we have the power of God here. He's going to roar here. Can't help but think of a lion, a mighty lion. As I do not go through and read, if we take out, if we move to the third verse, but from verse 3 in the first chapter to the third verse of the second chapter, all of that is Amos prophesying to Israel about all of these other nations. They're going to receive punishment. They all, each of these nations, these Gentile nations, have this phrase here. He says, "I, God, I will not turn away the punishment thereof." So we have Damascus. And there's six nations. There's about 16 verses here. Damascus, Gaza in the sixth verse. Tyrus in the ninth verse, Edom, 11th verse. So we move through all these, and then Ammon, and then we have Moab. So all of those nations, now at this point, and if that priest Amaziah is hearing this prophecy, I'm sure he would be saying, amen, brother, amen. All these Gentile nations, they're going to receive the punishment of God. He's going to roar out of Zion, out of Jerusalem, and punish these Gentile nations. Oh, because they deserve this. Well, they did. God is a righteous judge and all, but he's going through. Now, I would love to, you know, we have just like I mentioned, that Jeremiah crying or weeping preacher and all, Lamentations. He wrote that and all. But here, I could almost, as I studied this and read Amos, the prophecy and all, I could almost call him the logical prophet, and might get some pushback on that term, logical. But the way he lays this out, I know it's the inspired word of God. This is God's prophecy through his prophet, through his messenger. So he begins by prophesying. He didn't come in all of a sudden and start going against Israel. Israel doesn't know what's coming yet, and they're about to find out. But here's all these other nations, these six nations that he mentions here that they're going to receive, that he will not turn away the punishment thereof. So he goes through that. Now next, in the second chapter, the fourth verse, he says, thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Judah and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have despised the law of the Lord. They have despised the law of the Lord. This is Judah, the southern kingdom. All part of Israel, the nation of Israel, but it's not in the northern kingdom of Israel, southern, where Jerusalem is. So even still, these people in Israel that hear this prophecy, and the priest and all that are doing really well monetarily and materialistically, and all, they're doing fine. But they're saying, okay, well, he's going after Judah now. So, okay, we're still with him. It's okay. But then the sixth verse, of course, it changes. He sets all this up, Gentile nations, and then Judah, and now Israel. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Israel, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they sold the righteous for silver, and the poor for a pair of shoes. They also, I mentioned they're doing really well materially, and all monetarily. They are treating the poor, the impoverished, really badly, and God does not like that. Now, they're also guilty of idolatry. We know that, the high places of Bethel, and he's to go up there, and he's prophesying to them. So everything's good right now with Israel, but now he's fixing to get onto them. He does mention down here in the eighth verse of that second chapter, and they lay themselves down upon clothes laid to pledge by every altar, and they drink the wine of the condemned in the house of their gods. So that's lowercase g, God. They're idolaters is what they are here. Really gone astray. Now, when I mentioned logic in this, so he's gone here, he mentioned the other nations, they're good. Okay, there's Judah. Okay, now he touched on Israel, Amos did. But next, in the 9th through the, 9th, 10th, and 11th verses, and I won't read these, you can, he mentions, and even below that. Anyway, he mentions the good things that he's done, that God's done, some of the good things for them. He mentions, many times the prophets will mention that you that I've brought up out of Egypt, out of bondage and so forth. So there's some positive reinforcement there. Okay, I'm the God that did this for you. I blessed you in these things. He lists those out. He's still not bearing down on the negative yet at this point, except that in that the sixth, seventh, eighth verses right in there. But so he mentions the good things there. So now I'm already going to chapter 3. So we'll move through this. The third chapter. Says, hear this word that the Lord hath spoken against you. So this is the Lord speaking. I think I heard one of the preachers at Dixie at the meeting yesterday say something like, yeah, well, this isn't, I'm not saying this. The Lord says this. You take it up with the Lord. You know, if you're reading and he says something there, it's right there. It may be harsh and all, but it's God. It's not me. Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt. So he puts that in there again. I brought you up out of, lest you forget, he could have said, saying, you only, here's the difference. Got all those six Gentile nations that he's going to punish and all that he listed, and could have been others. Maybe he didn't mention all of them. And then you've got Judah, the house of Judah, and then Israel. But the second verse here is what it comes all down to. You only have I known of all the families of the earth. That's who he knew. That's his people. So he could have said, well, I'm not talking about all these Gentile nations. You are my people. You only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities. Now he's getting down to business here. Amos is from, and it's the word that the Lord hath spoken against them there. Now I will mention, as I move through toward the fourth chapter, sixth verse says, I'll just drop this in here. It says, shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in a city and the Lord hath not done it? Calamity. But shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? Tekoa, where Amos came from, means the sound of a trumpet. A trumpet sound is what that means. Amos is certainly blowing his trumpet at this point. He's well into it. And so far, where I started out, you remember in the fifth chapter, what he told them to do, really to follow him and all. You shall live. It's talking about here and now. It's not talking about anything eternal at this point. It's talking about future bondage. So this is the Assyrian nation will take them into bondage, Israel. And we know the Babylonians took Judah into bondage later on. And they were told, okay, 70 years. You got 70 years. You're going to be in bondage 70 years. They were out and all, rebuilding of the temple and so forth. But so in the fourth chapter, two verses right here, the fourth verse. He says, come to Bethel and transgress. Yeah. Come to Bethel and transgress. Okay, this is interesting. I'll keep reading. At Gilgal, multiply transgression and bring your sacrifices every morning and your tithes after 3 years. And offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven. We know, yeah, leaven, always think of communion, the Lord's Supper that we observe, that ordinance and all, unleavened bread. Leaven typically alludes to sin, anyways, offer a sacrifice, thanksgiving with leaven, and proclaim and publish the free offerings. For this liketh you, O ye children of Israel, saith the Lord God. So come to Bethel and transgress, multiply transgressions. Tell him, you just go ahead and double down on that. He could almost say, I want to say, let's see what happens. You know, God would say, you double down on your sins and your iniquities, your idol worship and all, and let's just see what happens. I've already come roaring like a lion from Zion, from Jerusalem, through my prophet Amos here. And I'm sure they're thinking, but wait, they're looking around, everything's going fine. Well, it looked like it to them. Everything's going great. We're all rich. And all. Well, everyone wasn't, because there were poor there, impoverished. But just, yeah, double down on this iniquity here. And I think, okay, Amos comes here and tells Israel these things. This is what's going to happen. And I'm not going to even go into much into the fifth chapter and on to the ninth, only nine chapters and all, maybe another time. It's not like Israel has not been shown what bad, evil, wickedness, idolatry that they're doing. God hadn't just surprised them out of nowhere here. And so how we know that is verses, chapter 4, verses 6 through 11. He lists Amos, God through Amos lists all these punishments and these things that God has done to them along the way. Repent, you know, you should be doing. They didn't do it. So several times here. Right now, I'm looking at about four times through from the 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th verses here. They end up with saying, yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I did this, I did this, I did this, yet have ye not returned unto me. This should be no surprise to you. Certainly it shouldn't be a surprise to the priest Amaziah. It should not be a surprise to the Israelites up here. They know what they've done. They've got to idol worship at these high places at Bethel. Yet ye have not returned unto me, saith the Lord, saith the Lord, saith the Lord. It's him saying this. They sinned against him. It's not against other men. I know we do things. I think about Jesus saying, you fed me, clothed me, and so forth, housed me, and all that. And then they said, when did we do this? If you've done it under the least of my brethren, you've done it. So they did things. They did things to the poor. That was one of their transgressions that they should not have, and all that happens. But they sin against God. And that's us. And I think about this. Let me make this point. So here with this list of things where God punished them at certain times, it's like I'm giving, and it may take, I haven't read exactly how many events that he mentions, that God mentions here. But I think about the warnings that I've ever had in my life. God doesn't just come up one day and shock me and think, oh, I didn't know. Where did this come from? That you're going to do this, that I'm going to now be under bondage because of these sins that I've committed. There's been signs, there's been indications of this. This should not surprise you, Israel, and it should not surprise us. And I hang on to that. It's like, I don't so much say, woe is me. Why is this happening to me? But I'm in that respect, poor me. But I honestly, why is this happening to me? And I think, what have I done? Well, they did some things. They got punished, but because they called God by His name. They were His people. We are His people. We are. So we should be aware of these things. That's me here. It's us that he's describing here. Now, two more verses out of this fourth chapter, the 12th verse. Therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Well, I have to think, they've met their God. You know, I think of the history up to this point. I mean, coming out of Egypt and prior to that, and then, so they knew, but they have forgotten. You're about to meet God here. It's not going to be pleasant. It's not going to be pleasant. You're going to meet God here. Prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. I forget, and I've mentioned this. There is so much mercy bestowed upon me, on us, that sometimes I forget this roaring or potential roaring from Zion of God and the power that He has. The song you mentioned, How Great Thou Art. This is God Almighty, sovereign God that we've talked about, but He's so merciful. That's what I see. His mercies are new every day, every morning. Prepare to meet thy God. For lo, he that formeth the mountains, here's his great power, and createth the wind, and declareth unto man what is his thought, and maketh the morning darkness, and treadeth upon the high places of the earth, the Lord, the God of hosts, is his name. He's actually having to tell his people his name again, the Lord of hosts. That is his name. He could have said, in case you've forgotten, Israel, this is my name, the great I am. Because apparently they had forgotten. I forget that because I fall on his mercy every day. And so then he goes into this this fifth chapter and tells them. But it says, he actually tells them, here's the solution. I look in all these minor prophets, major prophets, all these books, and God always gives a solution to these things. And he does that here. Seek the Lord and ye shall live. Seek the Lord and ye shall live. Now we know in other places where they said, we shall not do that. They fight against it. And I could call them all kinds of bad names and insulting names, the Israelites, the Hebrew people and all. It's like, really? Are you serious? But then I'd have to look at myself. How many times have I flown in the face of God, this Lord of hosts, and then he's had mercy, but then he shows. No, in chastisement, he punishes us in that, and yet it's in mercy because he loves us with an everlasting love. And it should bring us back. We should return unto him, as it says, yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. There are such abundant blessings in that. And in fact, where I was, I don't know how many Sundays ago, in 1 Peter, if I can find it, I think it's larger than Amos. 1 Peter, the first chapter where I was, if I can, All right. The 21st verse. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. Israel should have been following in the steps of their God. And I realized at that point in time, Jesus was not manifest to them in the flesh and so forth. But they knew exactly. They had the law. They were God's people, the Lord of hosts. And we're not left without that. We're given this great example, Jesus Christ. You talk about mercy. Jesus Christ coming here voluntarily to make himself this sacrifice to God that would be accepted. And he knew it would be. The song that was sung, we sang today, Jesus' name, it shall be called. He shall save his people from their sins. And he did that. And so now it is pleasing to him. It was pleasing for him when Israel or Judah would follow and do that. We could go all the way fast forward down to Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament, and see they were not following. This did not fix everything. Amos, that prophet there, with Judah, the Ninevites, they responded favorably to his prophecy and repented and turned back to God. Made Jonah mad that they had done that because he did not care, the Jewish people did not care for them. They didn't like him. But Amos here, he's prophesying. He came all the way up. I realize it's only about 22 miles or so from Tekoa up to Bethel, but you walk that far. Maybe on some of these scout trips, I know I did when I was in scouts, we would walk 10, 15 miles and all. I didn't like that. That was a long way. And so that wasn't even this far and all. But Amos never, he never even questioned it. It's not in God's word, so I'm going to say he did not. He immediately went. I think the Apostle Paul, he immediately went to these places. The preachers today should do that. We should see also there was a need, or God would not have called his prophet Amos there to go and do that. There was a need for that. And had the Assyrians simply come in and taken that nation into bondage and destroyed it and all. But they knew when that happened, they knew God had spoken to them through Amos. God speaks to us through his word. We understand that, Old and New Testament. It is well-pleasing. It is thankworthy for us, pleasing to God when we follow him. And yet, at every moment when things happen, good and bad, I think that his love never changes, that he still loves me right now. Even when I fly in the face, my actions fly in the face of an almighty sovereign God. He still blesses us. He still loves us. That will never change. And we'll realize that one day. May God bless and keep you. We'll close the service. We'll sing a song now.